Oh, thank you, Wes. Yeah, for giving us this opportunity. A surprise, but yeah, we're glad to be here. And also, it's a real joy for me to be working with my daughter, Jackie. It's an absolute privilege when God brings the two generations together. And in fact, the team that we're going to be working with for the holiday program is three generations. And that is so exciting. For me, I'm going to have my own daughter there and my grandchildren. They're all involved. And there's a whole lot of other young people putting their hand up. And there's quite a few grandmas too from the Tuesday prayer group. They've got their hands up. And there is a real sense of anticipation in our heart. I don't know whether you ever looked at that plaque, you know, in the doorway here. It says what? To the glory of God and the support of the community. And I just have a real sense that we're standing on the shoulders of a whole lot of people who have already prayed into this area. And I think we're here for a purpose. And God has seen fit to open up children's ministry as a way of reaching into the community. Now, I thought you would really like to know, how come I'm involved in evangelism with children again? Those of you who know me know that's where I started ministry. I started, my first major message was to six kids in the garage in Memorial Avenue. Yeah. And Leah used to come and help me with that. Yep. That's where I started with evangelism with children. Eventually I got involved in ministering to the children in the church as well. And it was a great surprise to me. This all started the very end of 2023. Janet, I have to talk about you here. Because she preached a wonderful message, I remember it, that an unusual request opens up a huge miracle. Remember you preached that message? Then she had an altar call for evangelism, and in that meeting, the thought had occurred to me that my greatest days of evangelism were in children's evangelism. That thought just crossed my head. And then when I get up the front, Janet lays a hand on my head, and she says, I see you in front of a large number of children. And it was all about evangelism. I just knew it. And I don't know what else she said. I can't remember, because I was just so stunned. And I went home, and I think I told you I had a very tearful afternoon because I just could not work it out, because I had laid all that part of my life down when my late husband, Andrew, you know, he passed away. In fact, I laid down all of children's ministry at that time. And then God opened up a whole lot of other ministry where I preached to everybody, big kids and little kids now. But I've never lost my heart for the fact that when the children are in the meeting, that's always been part of who I am. But actually reaching unreached children had not been part of what I was currently doing. So anyway, after that, I cried a lot that afternoon and I just laid it aside, like you do. But in the beginning of January of last year, I had two significant dreams, and I thought, I'll tell them, because you've been talking about dreams. Yeah. And it's not, I don't get a whole lot of dreams, but some I've had have been very significant. And I think maybe the Holy Spirit felt, I can't get through to Sally any other way. I'm going to have to give her a dream. And so it was true. And in my dream, it was shock horror. I was holding in my hand a children's correspondence course that I wrote many years ago that we sent out to children as a follow-up. And a young lad from 9 years old, you know a lot in a dream, I even knew that he actually came from another faith. And I got so excited when I saw it. And I said, this must be a sign that God's going to move again amongst children. And I was excited. So I wasn't in children's, you know, work at the time, even in my dream. So I was chasing around trying to find some children's workers to share it with. And it was really difficult. I was trying to barge in here, and I just wasn't really very well received at all. In fact, one group I sort of turned up in, they seemed to be more concerned about a big Lego building they were building. Now, I don't understand all that, but I think they were just totally involved in other stuff, reaching probably the church children. But as for reaching unchurched children, it wasn't on their radar at all. So I woke up from that and I thought, oh, goodness me, my eyes are all wet. And I began to sense the burden of the Lord on me again that I hadn't experienced for a long time. Because in those years of children's ministry, I carried it in my heart. I had a vision, but I had the burden of the Lord on me. And I can feel it coming on me again. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, do you know, Sally, there are many children in your city and in your nation that don't even know one word about me at all. And I thought, well, yes, yeah, that would be true. And you know, I began to pray. I still didn't know what to do with it, you know. And then I had another one that really got me. Just a few days later, there was Jesus, and I've never seen him ever in a dream before. But he was bending over a child, and I couldn't see the child, and he was ministering, obviously, to the child. And then when he turned around, I saw him. He was crying. Jesus was really crying. It wasn't just a few tears. He was really crying. When I saw him, I sobbed, and I woke up. And I haven't been the same again since. Because I really do believe that God began to share with me that there's a harvest amongst the children. They're almost a forgotten harvest. And then, why would God have such a heart for the children that he would want to awaken me like that? You know, I think Janet was the one, because I said, I don't understand it. She said, just been a time of war, God recalls his reserves. Remember you said that to me? And I think that's in a time of harvest, he can raise up a lady who has, most of you know, because last year I celebrated my 80th birthday. And, you know, it's unusual, but I feel like I'm going full circle and my heart is burdened for the children of our nation. And I thought the only thing I can do is to start sharing. And I shared it with Janet, I shared it with Jackie, and shared it with different ones that I pray with. And I was just really waiting. And we really just had to wait for the calendar to clear. Now, this is something I say it carefully, but I tell you, sometimes we're so busy, we have to find time to turn our hearts around and go out. Because we can be so busy with church even related stuff, good stuff, that you have to clear a calendar to find some time to relate to the children who don't know him at all. Now, this generation that we're reaching now, they say it's from 2010 to 2024. That would be right. And they, do you know what they call this new generation? Generation Alpha. Do you know why they call it Alpha? Because it's the very first generation that throughout the whole life they have been exposed to iPhones and smartphones and iPads and all of that. And we know that can be good, but we also know there's a lot of stuff in there that is very bad. And they spend a lot of time on screens. And so to teach them now is totally different than how we used to teach them, because their concentration isn't that great. And they're used to everything being fast moving, and it's very visual, isn't it? And so, and then I began to do a little more research. There's a pastor by the name of Tony Collis, you might know him. Live in. He wrote a book called A Million Children. I actually haven't got hold of the book yet, but in it, in the preface, as I was reading about it, he has done some research in our nation. He reckons there's a million children under the age of 0 to 15 in New Zealand. 100,000 of them are connected to church. Only 100,000. So that means that 9 out of every 10 Kiwi kids are not associated with a church at all, let alone have the opportunity of hearing about Jesus Christ. Now let that just sink in. 9 out of 10 children are not connected to any church. Yeah. When I was just thinking about it again last night, I thought, God, just please forgive us. But in that time, who's got a hold of them? The enemy has. And that generation now is exposed to all the transgender, all the ideology, you know, all the stuff. I don't have to spend the morning telling you about it. I am quite sure if you're a parent, and I take my hat off to people who are parenting today. Parenting this generation is so different than even the parenting that I did. There are so many challenges, and we are right with you. And we love to see God move amongst our children in our church. But, oh, there's so many that have never had that opportunity. That's why we're inviting you today to get on board with us. It's too big. And that's another thing that really just, I thought, God, I can't do this. I can't reach children on my own. You can't. So, you know, such a thrill when Jackie came on board. And then it's even a greater thrill when we see different people saying, we'll help you. But even that's not enough, because we want to do letterbox drops. There's all sorts of ways we have to connect with the community somehow, you know, to bring the children in, you know. So if you know, we will be out there, as Jackie's already mentioned, there's different ways where you can help us. But our prayer is that this will be our outreach. This is not just a single ministry outreach. This is not just Sally and Wayne, or, you know, and Wayne's involved, and Sally and Jackie doing anything. You know, it's all of us together. And the thing you can start with is just praying for this community and then doing what you can, and just, I don't mind if you rush us afterwards, because we can't do it on our own. And I want you to be able to rejoice when we share the stories of what God is doing in this community. Amen? Anyone happy about that? Well, let me just share a little bit, because when Jesus came, he showed us his heart towards children and his Father's heart. So some of these scriptures I have used a lot in the past. They've all come back to me. Oh, by the way, I think the very first one I need to share with you, our only response really towards what's happening amongst this generation of children is found in Lamentation 2:19. I think this is a verse that I carried a lot in my younger years, but it's come back to me in recent days. Lamentations 2:19. And of course, the children back then, Jerusalem had just been overthrown. So the darkness in Jerusalem was due to war, physical war. But we are at war today too. Our enemies are a little more insidious. Don't see him quite the same. You have to go looking. But anyway, read this verse with me. Let it speak to your heart. Arise, cry out in the night. As the watches of the night begin, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. Now that wouldn't surprise me. It doesn't have some application to what you saw. And children are hungering. Some of our children in our nation are hungering for physical food, but I believe there's an awful lot of them hungering for love, hungering for a place of safety, hungering for truth. And I think this is the best place for all of us to start. You know, Holy Spirit, share with me your heart and let me begin to cry out in the night for the life of our young children that are fainting for hunger in the top of every street. So it's going to begin with us opening up our hearts. And, you know, the Holy Spirit was so gentle with me. He kept on waiting for my yes. And I said, Lord, I'll just pray. Maybe my job is to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll labor up the laborers, you know. And I thought maybe that's what he was really talking about. And then he, because I know that verse in Matthew 9, what does it say? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest. And then he said, well, why don't you read Matthew chapter 10 as well, the beginning of it. And then I saw something I'd never seen before. Those that he told to pray were the ones he sent. There you are. It's dangerous to start praying. You will be sent. And I've never seen it before. That was the clinch line. I just had to say, well, yes, Lord. I am a sent one. I'm a sent one. I have heard your heart, and I just can't do anything about it now. I can't say no. For some reason, you want me. it just blows my mind. I think I'm still getting used to this whole idea. Once a part of me cries, another part of me just laughs, because I just so sense that God's got a harvest. And this joy in harvest. And I also feel some of my responsibility is to do with legacy, that this burden for children, you know, that don't belong to any church has to go down the generations. And so if I don't do anything else, that's what I'm believing for, that the burden for children, lost children, will go down the generation. Yeah? Yep. Good. Well done, Sam. Well, I know this appeals to your heart, doesn't it, Heather? Oh, yes. So anyway, I want to go to Matthew 18 now. Beautiful scriptures that Jesus spoke about children. There you go. There we go. It's going to go back up there. It's come at that time. Okay. Let me just check the time. Are we doing all right? Oh, yes, we've got time. I can say a lot in 15 minutes. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Don't you love these disciples? They were so competitive. They were so insecure. They asked that question more than once. Who's the greatest among us? I can imagine Peter saying, "Well, I have to be the greatest. I've walked on water and you lot haven't," you know. So there was this competition amongst them. You know, we can relate to them, can't we? You know, who's the greatest? Who's got the greatest ministry? Oh, well, Jesus let me sit with him last night. So, you know, I must be the greatest, you know. You can just imagine the bickering. And Jesus had to cope with it more than once. And then they must have been absolutely horrified, because Jesus stops and he goes over to a young child. And he says, calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Now these are amazing words. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now what is he telling us in those verses? Yeah? What's he telling us? The children have the right qualifications to enter the kingdom. Because he picks out humility, but if you read the Amplified, it picks out a few others as well. But children, they're humble, they're open, they're receptive, they're forgiving, and they just have the qualities that we all need to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, there may be some people in this room today that's just coming to me, you heard Wes preach, and you didn't have the courage to come out the front. And probably the main reason would be pride, because we have to humble ourselves to receive Jesus. You have to become childlike. Not childish, but childlike. Children are beautiful. I've never ever had one child ever say to me in all those years of children's ministry, reaching the unreached kids, say, "I don't want to know Jesus." Never ever had. Has anyone? And today that could be more difficult. I'm going to find out what this next generation is really like in a few weeks' time. You know, are they just as open and soft? In fact, I think children, you know, before they get too old, they're not unlike the good and honest heart of the parable. Soft hearts. They're just open to receive. In fact, statistics have always told us that most decisions for Jesus are made in children and youth years. And it makes sense. Hearts are soft. They're pliable. They hear and they receive. So it must have been a bit of a shock to these disciples. Say, "I've got to become like a child," you know. But that's the way into the kingdom, isn't it? And then the next verse is absolutely, this was the one that really God used to call me initially into children's ministry. It was actually on our letterhead years ago. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." And that lifted children's ministry to a whole new level. I was going to be a high school teacher, but actually ministering to children, I have to confess, at that stage felt very beneath me. Pride. High school teacher was okay. And so here are this verse, that if I was just going to receive one child, receive could actually mean accept, welcome, just one child into the garage in my parents' home. All those years ago, I was literally going to receive Jesus. He identified so closely with them. And I remember I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, and it's never left me. That was the key verse that turned my heart towards the children. Isn't that beautiful? That if you just receive one child in his name, Jesus so identifies with them, he says, "You're receiving me." Whew. I can feel that. It still holds today. He said, you know, when he was speaking to me, he said, "You know, things have changed a lot, Sally." And he said, "Children's hearts today, that vacuum has been filled with so much other stuff, but not me." And yeah, he just shared some really amazing stuff. But he said, "I haven't changed, and my message hasn't changed." And so He talks a lot about stumbling children. You can read that when you go home. The next one is the parable of the lost sheep. You were talking about the parable of the lost son. But it's interesting how it starts in verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now, despise sounds very strong, because I don't think anyone here would say you despise children. But if you really look up more the word, it just means think down upon, because sometimes we think little of something that's little, don't we? You know. So he said, just don't look down upon children. And then he says, why? Because you know children have a great value in heaven. Now, I have to just read that verse. I'll find it in the Passion, just because I thought, oh, Passion just said it so amazingly. Let me see if I can just say it here, just quickly. Yes. There's a, don't look down on them. They have value in heaven. It talks about their guardian angels have constant, instant access to my Heavenly Father. Isn't that just so beautiful? Yeah. Access, instant access to his Heavenly Father. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And the Passion is just turning around and saying they have direct access to Jesus's, our Heavenly Father. That's beautiful. Then he talks about that beautiful parable of the lost sheep. And I don't think we like to think that children ever can be lost. We would prefer them not to be lost, wouldn't we? But that parable, I think sometimes people try and say, oh, it's, you know, anyone who's little, esteemed little. But I think in the context, that lost sheep was a lost lamb. And Jesus was prepared to leave the 99 behind and go and seek the lost. I think there's children around here who are very lost. Just ponder it. And he finishes up with these words in verse 14. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You don't like to think about that, but if Jesus is saying it, are they able to perish? Who likes to know that? Let me think. Every little child's okay. We could argue about that one, but we're not. This is just Jesus' word. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And it's really, we know it's not Father's will that anyone should perish. But I think he's highlighting it here because he's talking about the value of children. Now Jesus demonstrated the value of children. He showed us how to value them. Now he had given his disciples a good lesson, had he not? But it's amazing how you can hear it all and say, yeah, great, okay. And then fail the next test. Because if you come along to Matthew chapter 19, and you can read this also in Mark chapter 10, here is the story of the children coming to Jesus. In fact, some of the, this is in three of the Gospels, that parents were bringing their children to Jesus. That has to be a good thing, parents, doesn't it? Bring your children to Jesus. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them. And they wanted, these parents wanted Jesus to pray for them. If you read it in Mark, it talks about they wanted Jesus to touch them. Maybe some of them were sick, I don't know. But the disciples rebuked the people. Now that's a strong word. You know, I love telling the story to children because you can imagine the kids all excited, can't you? We're going to go and see Jesus, you know. And they're probably skipping ahead of their mums and dads, you know, running down there. And then out come these big people and say, stop! Now, I don't know why they thought they were protecting Jesus from the children, but they had their reasons. Probably Jesus is too busy. They were actually looking down upon. Jesus had just taught them in the chat before, but they totally, totally didn't get it, did they? And so now they're sort of now helping Jesus out. But Jesus hears them. And in Mark chapter 10, it says he was indignant. Now, that is a strong word. He was very displeased with them. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus was unhappy about something, he wasn't afraid to show it. And so those disciples probably thought, we're probably going to get a little talk about this later, you know. And he came out with these words, which are found in three of the Gospels. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Do you know the kingdom of heaven belongs to children? And we talk a lot about the kingdom of heaven in here, don't we? What is the kingdom of heaven? Just give me one verse. What belongs to the children? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So just starters, the kingdom of God belongs to children. They can experience his righteousness. They can experience his joy. They can experience his peace all in the Holy Spirit. They can experience the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can get excited about that. Would someone lately like to get excited about that? Because it is amazing that the kingdom of God belongs to children. Get it? And it also says the kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power. So children can understand and have experiences with the very power of God. And it's really beautiful if you read it in Mark chapter 10. He actually took the children up in his arms and he blessed them. So I just wrote down here some of the ways that Jesus actually showed how much he valued them. First of all, he said the kingdom of God belongs to them. He gave them his time. He stopped and had time for them. And he took them in his arms. He showed them affection and love. Yeah. And this is good for parents because we represent Jesus now and grandparents. And then he blessed them. How do you bless people? You pray for them and you bless them with words. Words. Well, we could have a good one with that one, couldn't we? What words are you using with your children? What do you say to them? Are you speaking life into your children or are you speaking death? I'd love to have been just a little, I'd love to have been a part of the conversation that he had with them. It's all done in a few verses, but I wonder what he did say to them. He said, I love the way you help your mum and dad. I'm very proud of you. You know, I saw how you helped your friend. I am sure that he spoke absolute blessing over their lives and made them feel like $1 million. And we're here now as his representatives on the earth. I could say a lot about that, but go home and ponder it. Are we blessing our children with our words or are we not? And then, of course, he prayed for them. And that's a great example to all of us, isn't it? Yeah? We are his representatives on the earth now. And another thing you could say, or does it all that apply, Sally, to children that aren't part of church? Does that apply to non-Christian children? Can they receive Jesus? Can they get saved? Even if their home is not Christian. Now, I am here to tell you, and other ones would be able to attest to this too. In those years of child evangelism, I saw lots of children receive Jesus. Is that right, Leah? We did. And I have the joy as I've got older of connecting with some of them. And just in a funeral in the tent just a couple of years ago, she's young to me. She comes bouncing up to me. She's probably, well, I don't know how old she'd be now. I'd have to try and work it out. But she'd be an older young person. But she bounces up to me and says, Sally, do you remember me? And her hair colour had changed and everything. And I thought, no. I am. And she said, I'm Leanne. Oh, Leanne, I've often wondered what happened to you. And I had connected with her sister sometime. And I found out the church she was going to. And I know the church her sister goes to, Majestic. So here are these children. They were part of one of our Joytime clubs in our home in Darlington Terrace. No, Landy Street. And we actually held a holiday program in Banks Avenue School. And as clear as day, I can remember the day that they stayed behind after the program. And I was able to lead her, Leanne, and her sister Colleen, and a few other of those children to the Lord. And I remember the moment because I could sense the presence of the Lord very strongly. And we used to bring them to church with us. Mum and Dad, hope this doesn't ever go online, but Mum and Dad still don't, as far as I know, don't follow Jesus. But these two girls have. Now, and I've had other ones who've come and told me they have faithfully served the Lord in their childhood. And if you can connect them to church, that's even better. But I also heard another story that my sister Sharon told me of this young lad, his name was Andrew, And he went to a Joytime Bible Club. We had heaps of them in the city in this era. And he was a nine-year-old boy, and he received Jesus. And he connected up with my sister Sharon when they were doing Christchurch School's music festival. And anyway, after that, he left and he went to the States. And in the States, his life just fell apart. And he was in a very dark place. And he remembered as a child that he'd received Jesus. And he got on his knees and he called out to God. And he had an encounter with the Lord in the very room. I don't know where it was in the States, but God totally transformed his heart. He came home and he got hold of Sharon and became, you know, connected with her. Actually ended up going to the Majestic. He got water baptized there. But he said to Sharon, "I actually know your sisters. I went to a Joytime Bible Club when I was 9 years old." Isn't that just so amazing? See, I say that when they do receive Jesus, they're born of an incorruptible seed that doesn't die. And they, you know, the seed is scattered and it's sown into their hearts, and God can breathe on it any time at all. So I have stories of those who found Jesus in a club or a holiday program who have served him all their lives. I've also heard stories just like that one, that they remember it was a significant moment in their life when they received Jesus, and then they didn't always have the follow-up maybe, you know, the care, but anyway, when they needed the truth was already in their heart, and they could respond to God. Isn't that so good? Yeah. So, we don't have to worry. Child converts last. Another thing, many missionaries, if you challenge them, felt called to the mission field when they were young. Don't forget that one. Marion Mayle is a classic. She was 7 when she had a vision. And it was obviously where she ended up in Fiji, but it was a 7-year-old where God first spoke to her. So it's so, I can't say it more strongly enough. It is so vital that we reach the children of this generation. And maybe we're a bit behind time, but I am sure God's going to do some amazing things. And we're stepping out by faith. I feel like we're walking on water. You know, it's a different generation to be doing this for. But I would just encourage you, join us. Come and see us. We'll be out there in the foyer. You can sign up if you'd like to help in any way. But whatever, we can pray. Now, I thought this is the best way. Is that all right, Wes? If we stand now and we're going to pray for the community this church is in. Amen. We don't always do this in church, but I would like you all just to think about this community. We're really after the school that's in this community. I've been here as the kids come out of school, and they all live around here. This is a wonderful opportunity to reach out to them. Yeah. So why don't, you know, we praise together, don't we? Yes. We worship together. Now, why don't we pray together? I'm just going to give you just a brief moment. Think of what you could say to the Lord in relation to what I've shared with you. And I want to hear a good sound come up from us as we all pray together. Who's prepared to pray with me? I want to hear your voice. We're not just going to go. No, if you don't know what to say and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, pray in tongues. But we're going to make a noise, and we're going to rise and cry out in the night. What and who for? We're going to pour out our heart like water before the Lord. Yes. And why? Because we've got children fainting for the hunger for God in this area. So are you ready? I think we should lift our hands like that verse says, don't you? So let's pray. Oh, yeah.